with IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. Libyan rebels have pushed to the suburbs of Tripoli without resistance after they overran a major military base that defends the capital. The rebels were greeted by civilians lining the streets and waving rebel flags. Inside Tripoli, there was a second day of widespread clashes between Gaddafi loyalists and a band of rebel supporters. Bashar al-Assad, the president of Syria, says his security forces are gaining against a five-month-old rebellion and that his government is in no danger of falling. President Assad appeared today in an interview on state-run TV and repeated plans to introduce reforms to Syria. Family members of two Americans being held in Iran said this weekend has been the most difficult 2 days for them in the 2 years since Shane Bauer and Josh Fatah were arrested. Iranian officials announced yesterday that the two have been given 8-year prison sentences for spying. I'm Ron Allen.
What if your computer was a golden goose that would lay golden eggs? You could just push the enter button and get a golden egg anytime you wanted it. At gold prices today, that would be pretty cool. Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby with the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. With the 3-Step Plan, we teach real people how to use your computer, your telephone, and the internet to build a money-making home business. We can show you how you can have customers calling you asking for information. You can work part-time or full-time, and you can work around your family commitments. We have the marketing, the products, the training, and system to get you successfully working from home. The golden goose is just a fairy tale, but a 3-step plan home business could give you a real-life approach to solving your money worries. To find out how you can make extra money working from home, go to 3-STEP-USA or call 800-480-2102. 800-480-2102.
A combination of aging baby boomers and workers laid off of their jobs is causing more trouble for the Social Security disability programs. The boomers and out-of-workers have been swamping the program with claims at a pace nearly 50% up from a decade ago. Including the backlog, it could take 2 years or more before many cases are resolved. And the disability program, which has been running in the red for years, is now in danger of running out of money by 2017. An attorney for the hotel maid who accused former International Monetary Fund chief Dominique Strauss-Kahn of sexual assault said she feels abandoned by the New York District Attorney. The attorney's comments to France's RTL Radio came a day after the attorney told the New York Times that he's afraid the prosecutor is going to dismiss the charges against Strauss-Kahn. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
And now the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use. Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
With cell phone theft up, New York Democratic Senator Charles Schumer wants mobile phone providers to do more to deter crime. Here's Julie Walker with a report.
New York Senator Charles Schumer says cell phone carriers can effectively put an end to a spike in mobile phone thefts by deactivating the phones themselves instead of just their data storage or SIM cards. He sent letters to AT&T, T-Mobile, and Nextel asking they follow Verizon and turn off stolen phones. 41% of all property crimes in New York City in the first half of this year were related to cell phones, and Schumer says they're easily resold on the black market. Julie Walker, New York.
Taxes are always in the news. Here's correspondent Bryant Thomas with a report.
Many of the same Republicans who fought hard to keep the Bush-era income tax for the wealthy from expiring are now saying the temporary payroll tax cut should end as planned on January 1st. Workers normally pay about 6% of their wages for Social Security. Employers match that. But last year, Congress approved the president's request to reduce the worker share to 4.2% for a year. Obama wants Congress to extend it for one more year. Normally, the GOP would jump at that, but as they try to cut the deficit, kissing $120 billion goodbye will be difficult. Brian Thomas, Washington.
United Airlines plans to invest $500 million to improve seating on its planes is just one part of the integration of United and Continental after merging last year. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen.
I have something to confess.
It has to start
somewhere.
I
just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do,
welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. You know, a recent trend I see in Southern California, and maybe where you live too, is to have a traveling reptile show come over to a child's house for their birthday party. In fact, we've seen signs posted along the side of the road which say reptile birthday parties with their phone number. So is this a good idea? Well, later in the show, a good friend of Animals Today joins us, Matt Ellerbeck, the Snake Man, will be on to tell us about what he thinks about this idea and other important snaky things. Now, I recently learned about a fantastic rescue effort conducted to save a great number of penguins from certain death, and the book about this is finally out. In fact, it just was released the other day. Diane DiNapoli has written a vivid firsthand account of this rescue entitled The Great Penguin Rescue. And listen, the descriptive subtitle reads 40,000 Penguins, a devastating oil spill, and the inspiring story of the world's largest animal rescue. And I will tell you, in the years we've been on the air, I can't recall specifically talking about penguins. So it's a great opportunity to get up to speed about these magnificent creatures and what a tale it is. Diane DiNapoli has worked closely with penguins at Boston's New England Aquarium for 9 years, after which she founded her company, The Penguin Lady. Since 1995, Diane has been educating people around the world about penguins. Welcome to the show, Diane. Well, congratulations on the book, by the way, is a Nautilus Book Award winner. And Diane, listen, set the scene for the Great Penguin Rescue. Where are we and what went down?
Well, we're in an unexpected place. We're in South Africa. So this oil spill took place off the coast of Cape Town, and many people are just surprised to learn that there are penguins in Africa at all, but many penguin species are warm weather. So this oil spill occurred in June of 2000 when a ship named the Treasure sank off the coast of Cape Town between two of the African penguins' main breeding islands, Dasson Island and Robben Island, and the 1,300 tons of fuel spilled into the water, and it polluted the habitat of nearly half the entire world population of African penguins with oil. And tragically, this oil spill occurred at the height of the best breeding season scientists had ever recorded for the African penguins, which at the time were listed as a threatened species.
Wow. Diane, describe your role in this rescue, and how did you first hear about the situation, and what made you become involved?
Well, at the time of the oil spill, I was working at Boston's New England Aquarium. I was a penguin aquarist, and so we had been aware of this oil spill when it occurred. We were already in touch with SANCOB, which is the main rescue center in Cape Town, and they oversaw this whole rescue effort. And so I think it was 5 days after the oil spill occurred, we received a phone call in the Penguin office, and it was Estelle Vandermeer, who at the time was a center manager at SANCOB, saying, please, please, please come help, because we have thousands of oil penguins and we have thousands of volunteers, but they have no experience. So we need experts to come train the volunteers, manage them, and advise us on best husbandry practices, how to best care for these birds. So 2 days later, we were on a plane on our way to South Africa.
Was there a particularly challenging aspect of your time in Cape Town?
Well, I would say on every level possible, it was a grueling experience, mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. One of the most difficult things, though, was wondering if we would be successful, because we all knew that 6 years prior to this oil spill, another ship had sunk nearby called the Apollo C, and in that oil spill, 10,000 penguins had been oiled, and half of them had died. And so we now had twice as many oiled penguins. We had 20,000, and we had another 20,000 that the oil slick was moving towards. And so one of the biggest question marks really hanging over our heads was, could we pull it off? So that was probably one of the very difficult things, and also just emotionally being confronted with thousands and thousands of oiled, traumatized birds. You know, it was pretty overwhelming walking into that rescue center for the first time.
Yeah. Diane, having recently watched the Gulf oil spill, some of us may be familiar with this, but describe what happens to a penguin or other seabird when it gets covered with oil.
Sure. It's, you know, there are a number of things that happen. First and foremost, you know, they get very heavy with this oil that coats their bodies when they're at sea, and they can actually get waterlogged and drown. They become hypothermic at sea because the oil clumps up and separates their feathers, and so now the cold seawater can get down to their skin. And where the African penguins live, even though the air temperature is warm, the waters are very cold. So they'll head for shore, and then they'll stand there, and they actually will stand there and starve because it's too cold to go to sea to hunt for food. And then, of course, the first thing that an oiled bird is going to do is try to clean itself, and it uses its beak to preen its feathers. And when it does that, it inadvertently swallows the oil, which then has toxic effects internally. It can cause bleeding ulcers and anemia, and just the toxic effects of the oil can kill the bird. So, you know, it's really important that a really rapid response takes place to remove these birds from the environment and start caring for them and cleaning them and feeding them.
So describe what happened.
What happened when I got
what
there?
When you got there, and what happened to these birds?
Oh, what happened to the birds? Well, when the ship sank, SANCOB immediately responded because they'd gone through this before. They'd been doing this work actually for 40 years, but this was just the largest number of penguins that had ever been oiled at once anywhere in the world. And within a day, they had 350 penguins they'd rescued that first day, and within 3 days, they had about 5,000 already. And the rescue center was bursting at the seams because they're only designed to hold 2,000. So the first thing that then happened was a temporary rescue center was built where most of these oiled penguins were brought to and housed. And then they brought in other experts like the IBRRC, which is the International Bird Rescue Research Center based in California. And many listeners might know them because they were in the Gulf of Mexico last year overseeing that. They're the oiled animal experts. And then also IFLA, the International Fund for Animal Welfare. They kind of oversaw the logistics. And so this massive volunteer response ensued. And ultimately, there were about 110 experts like myself who were there. But most of the work was actually carried out by volunteers. And 12,500 remarkable volunteers showed up from all around the world to help save these penguins.
Wow. Isn't that incredible?
It was.
And you mentioned...
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned a lot of inexperienced people helping to cleaning the penguins. Mm-hmm. Is it hard to train inexperienced people to safely
do
this?
Yeah, it actually is quite a bit of training involved. It would take about 4 days to get a volunteer completely up to speed with this method. And once they were trained, it would take two people about an hour just to clean one oiled penguin. And they would use toothbrushes and tubs of hot water with dishwashing soap and high-pressure hoses to rinse them. And so you can imagine to clean 20,000 oiled penguins, it took a long time. It took a little over a month to clean all of those penguins once everybody was trained and up to speed on the process.
Diane, what are the hazards to people and to the animals involved in degreasing the birds?
Well, certainly, you know, the contact with the oil for people is not great either, and so we were advised to wear thick gloves, but I know that personally I ended up taking them off because they were so cumbersome, it was difficult to handle the birds with them on. But the other real risk to both people and the birds is injuries you know, from restraining the birds. If you don't teach people how to do that properly, the bird can get injured, but also you can get injured. And so a lot of people, penguins, I should say, have razor-sharp beaks. And so people were bitten on the face. People were, my body was covered head to toe with these wounds and bruises and cuts and welts from these frightened penguins. And even a few people were bitten clear through their lip by these penguins.
Wow.
So it was pretty gruesome.
Yeah, Diane, so now they're all cleaned up. How did they do after that, and how many survived?
Well, you know, this was a really important point that there has been some controversy. Some people claim that, you know, it's just not worthwhile to rehabilitate oiled seabirds because most of them don't survive after rehabilitation, and this is really not the case. We had a phenomenal success rate. Of those 19,000 oiled penguins, we saved 90% of them. And the really important part of that is that they went back out into the wild and they lived just as long as their never-oiled counterparts, and they bred nearly as successfully. So these rehabilitation efforts really are valid and worthwhile to undertake.
Wow. Okay, don't go away. We have Diane DiNapoli, the penguin lady. She's with us here on Animals Today. We're going to talk more about this rescue that she's involved with and her amazing work she's doing to help the penguins. You're listening to Animals Today. This is your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Don't go away.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
As a home plate ump, my eyesight is my paycheck.
Strike one!
Strike, that thing was chin high!
But the price of monthly contact lenses was eating me up.
Strike two!
Come on, it bounced to the plate!
So to save some money, I'm just using these glasses I found. Cha-ching!
Strike three, you're out!
He hasn't even pitched the ball yet!
There's an easier way to save. Get online, go to geico.com, get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals. Today we're speaking to Diane DiNapoli. Her new book, The Great Penguin Rescue, subtitle reads 40,000 Penguins, a devastating oil spill, and the inspiring story of the world's largest animal rescue. Diane, I'm just looking at the pictures in your book right now. They're just incredible. You cleaning, all the volunteers and all the people cleaning the penguins, the oiled penguins. I mean, the pictures are just absolutely incredible. Diane, how do you feed 40,000 penguins?
It's quite a laborious process. In the beginning, they all had to be force-fed because, of course, they're wild animals. They won't waddle over to you like they do in an aquarium and open up their beak and wait for you to stick a fish in there. So you would have to, again, train these volunteers how to do this. Grab a penguin, squeeze it between your legs underneath its wings, and pry open its beak with two hands. Reach down into a bucket next to you and grab a slippery sardine and then carefully shove it down their throat, and being very careful to go down the esophagus and not the trachea so you don't suffocate the bird. And the whole time the bird is shaking its head and fighting you and spitting out the fish. So it would take a really long time to train people how to do this. And then once you were trained up in the process, it might take 5 or 10 minutes just to feed one bird. So with all 20,000 birds in the building, it would be an all-day process with hundreds of volunteers doing it in each room. So it was quite an intensive process. But what we did do was train most of these birds how to make that transition to free feeding, to take the fish freely from our hands. And this, to me, was one of the most remarkable things, to see how quickly a wild animal could learn to do that and just sort of lose its fear of you and walk right over and open up its beak and wait for you to feed it. So they're very remarkable birds, very smart and very adaptable.
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier that it takes an hour and two men just to clean one penguin. Mm-hmm. So how many man hours was spent cleaning these 40,000 penguins?
Well, there were 20,000 that had to be cleaned and then 20,000 that were moved. So half of those were oiled and half were not. But to take care of those 20,000 that were oiled at the rescue center, it was more than 500,000 hours of all volunteer labor, which is incredible. We couldn't have saved the birds without these volunteers.
Yeah, yeah. So just describe the situation even more. Give my listeners some details here.
Well, sure. As I mentioned, there were these 20,000 that were brought to the rescue center, and the day after we arrived in South Africa, this new crisis began to unfold, because what was now happening was the oil slick was moving north towards Dasen Island, where tens of thousands of penguins were, but they hadn't been oiled yet. And the rescue directors sort of panicked, because they said, if it hits Dasen Island, there's no way we could save any more birds if they get oiled. We don't have a place to put them. We don't have more volunteers. We don't have more fish to feed them. And so they came up with this sort of radical idea. They said, why don't we take as many of those penguins as we can, we'll remove them from the island, truck them up the coast 500 miles and release them into the clean waters near Port Elizabeth and let them swim back home. And hopefully they'll find a way back, and hopefully by the time they do, the oil will be cleaned from the environment. And they put satellite tags on the backs of three of those penguins, and they named them Peter, Pamela, and Percy. And they monitored that swim back home. And fortunately, on the day that the first penguin arrived, the last of the oil was cleaned from the islands, and the last of the remaining oil was removed from the sunken ship. So it was a really risky experiment, but it worked. And so we now know we can utilize this strategy in future oil spills.
And what happened to Peter, Pamela, and Percy?
Peter was kind of a, I think he was an interesting penguin because the day that he arrived, which was July 18th, he was from Robben Island. The other two were from Dassen. So he arrived on Robben Island on July 18th, which happens to be Nelson Mandela's birthday, who was imprisoned on Robben Island for the first 17 years of his 27-year imprisonment. And then he disappeared. And they never found him, and they never found the transmitter, and they thought, you know, gosh, did he not make it? Did he die after returning? Was the journey too much? Did he get eaten by a shark? They just never knew. And then 4 years later, on April Fool's Day, Peter showed up again. So Peter's a penguin with a flair for the dramatic.
Diane, it's now more than, what, 11 years later. Mm. How are the penguins in South Africa doing?
Well, you know, unfortunately, they're not doing very well right now, not because of this oil spill. They did remarkably well afterwards, but 11 years later, their population is half of what it was when we left South Africa. And a year ago, the species was declared endangered, and this is primarily due to starvation. And the two main reasons they believe this is happening, one is because of global warming, which is essentially moving their food away from the area, and also because of overfishing. So the species could be extinct within 10 years if we don't make some changes and do something to help protect them.
So please tell us, what can my listeners do to help protect penguins?
Well, you know, my mission personally is to raise awareness and funding to protect penguins, and so I donate 20% of the proceeds from my book and every appearance to penguin rescue groups, and I always encourage my audience members and readers of the book to do the same. And so I have included in the appendix of my book, there's an extensive list of penguin rescue groups around the Southern Hemisphere. If people are inspired to do so, they can donate and support those rescue centers. And SANCOB, in fact, the rescue center in Cape Town that we were working with, they have established a very important project called a chick bolstering project. And every year they go out to the islands and rescue any abandoned penguin chicks and hand raise them. And they have an 80% success rate. And so this is one project that people can support. And then in a broader sense, also just, you know, thinking about our impact on the planet. You know, reducing our reliance on fossil fuels, reducing our use of plastics, trying to live a greener lifestyle, because all these things, you know, if we can start reducing global warming, that's going to help not just African penguins, but all 18 species, because global warming is impacting all the penguin species in different ways.
Diane, where can Americans go to see penguins in the wild?
Oh, my goodness. Well, they would have to take a really long plane ride. The closest place would be the Galapagos Islands on the equator, which, again, most people don't think about penguins on the equator, but they are the most northerly of the species. And, you know, the Galapagos Islands are just the most magical place to visit anyway because there's so much unique wildlife there. But the Galapagos penguin that lives there is the next to smallest penguin. They stand about 12 or 14 inches high, and there's only about 1,000 left, so they are endangered. You can see that would probably be the closest. And anywhere throughout the Southern Hemisphere, they're in Chile and Argentina, they're in Antarctica, South Africa, New Zealand, Australia, and of various islands sort of dotting the Southern Ocean.
Wow. Diane DiNapoli, the book is The Great Penguin Rescue, available everywhere. Diane, thanks so much for your expertise and coming on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Don't go away. We have the Snake Man coming up next right here on Animals Today.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life. For more information, please visit our website, desertpaws.org. Again, that website is www.desertpaws.org. And save a life. Save a pet's life today.
Calling people using long distance was draining my wallet. So to save money, I'm only calling people with toll-free numbers. Do any of my friends have them? No. Any family members? Nope. You know, no one I call has a toll-free number. So, Mom, if you're listening, I got your messages. Tell Cousin Tommy I hope all is well. And honestly, would it hurt you to look into an 800 number? I'm your only son, for crying out loud.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to geico.com. Get a quote. Or follow this guy's toll-free penchant and call 1-800-947-AUTO.
And now, the bonus round. If absence makes the heart grow fonder, what does presence make?
I want to say crab dip.
Correct. Finish this sequence. Tree, sky.
Transubstantiationalism.
Correct. What can you watch instantly with Netflix?
Unlimited TV episodes and movies.
Correct. Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Ma'am, are you crying?
I cry when I'm happy.
Well, that makes two of us.
You hear a lot of talk about which car is best, which smartphone is best, which auto insurance company is best. You know the drill. But I wonder if I could talk with you for a minute about another kind of best, one very close to my heart, or should I say stomach? I'm talking about eggs. That's right, delicious farm-fresh eggs cooked up hot and flavorful for breakfast, lunch, dinner, whatever. To me, there's only one egg that truly is the best, the one that towers above all the others, Eggland's Best Eggs. What makes Eggland's Best the best? Well, first of all, there's the taste. I gotta say, no other egg tastes as fresh and delicious as Eggland's Best. I love mine over easy, but they're great any way you cook them. And then there's the nutrition. The fact is, compared to regular eggs, all-natural Eggland's Best gives you more of the superior nutrition your body needs. Things like 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D, plus 25% less saturated fat. Pretty exceptional, don't you think? So let the car companies and phone companies fight over who's best. When it comes to eggs, there's only one best. Eggland's Best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs. Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to Animals Today. We are pleased to have Matt Ellerbeck, also known as the Snake Man. Matt is a real conservationist who is dedicating his life to helping snakes and teaching people about them. One great thing Matt does is post frequently on Facebook describing his daily activities, whether in the field, with the media, or in educating. So make sure to visit him on Facebook, where he has almost 5,000 friends. And we're friends of Mike, of Matt's, on his Facebook. Today we're speaking about the trade of snakes. Welcome to the show, Matt.
Thank you so much.
Buying and selling of snakes seems very popular. Why is the pet trade harmful to snakes, Matt?
The biggest reason that the pet trade is abusive to snakes is it creates a window for anyone to walk in off the street, regardless of the fact that they may be ill-equipped or do not have the needs to meet, to provide proper care for these animals. They can walk in and obtain a wide variety of exotic snakes and then hold them as captives. And, you know, the average person who wants a snake wants them for all the wrong reasons: the shock value, the novelty, the fear factor. And if that's your motivation for wanting an animal, that's probably not going to be the person who really sits down and, you know, thinks about how they're going to meet the needs of that animal and research and, you know, really take the time to make sure that they can provide proper care. So because of this, legions of snakes end up in these deplorable homes, you know, where people keep them as for gimmicky reasons, and then when the novelty wears off, the small quality of care that was there begins to decline. And it's been well documented by animal cruelty groups that 90% of all pet snakes sold die prematurely due to neglect and improper care. So that's a massive amount of snakes dying and being subjected to pain and suffering because of one trade. And, you know, a lot of people don't like snakes. They're afraid of them. And it seems like the few people that do like them are just only interested in hoarding them and keeping them as pets. And, you know, the pet trade with reptiles has become a big industry now. The people that support it call themselves hobbyists, and they'll have huge hordes of, you know, reptiles, and they'll often keep snakes in these small Tupperware containers that don't even, you know, begin to emulate or replicate what they have in the wild. And they'll have stacks and stacks of them on top of one another. And, you know, facts and figures is one thing, but I can, you know, use my own experiences to back this up. Over nearly a 10-year period, I've taken in many, many snakes and adopted them and rescued them and taken them in from some of these horrible homes. And I've seen snakes that were so dehydrated and so underweight and so weak that they couldn't even shed the skin off their body. And they've come in with wounds and all sorts of respiratory problems. And, you know, I've seen snakes that were housed in cages that had inches upon inches of waste matter in it, and the water dish was green. So I'm talking about the most deplorable and horrible conditions imaginable. And these are what, you know, happens every year. And, you know, there's pet stores and reptile dealers and huge reptile expos all around the world now that supply snakes to the public, and this is what happens to them.
The trade of snakes, is it illegal? Can we report it if we see it?
It depends where you are, right? But most places there is a legal pet trade. I mean, sometimes you'll see certain species. Like where I live, you're not allowed to sell any native wildlife. But that doesn't stop, you know, all these exotic species from coming in. And other places might have restrictions on the size of snakes or restrictions against venomous snakes. But, you know, that really only applies to certain species. There's still a plethora of other species that can still be legally sold. And that's the big problem. So, you know, the laws and legislation is not going to stop this problem. So that's why I try to, you know, encourage people to make that change on the individual level. And I would, you know, a lot of people, kids and, you know, younger people might think, oh, I love snakes, I love reptiles, they're fascinating, they're interesting, I would love to have one live with me, you know, as a pet. And you know, some people, you know, may actually take the time to learn how to take care of them. But even if they do, they're still handing over their money to a trade that, you know, opens the window for snakes to be abused so badly, but is also commoditizing them and exploiting them purely for monetary gain. So I would tell people, if you really love reptiles, if you really love snakes, the best thing you can ever do for them is never buy one as a pet. Don't give your money to breeders. Don't give your money to pet stores. By doing so, you are only directly funding their suffering and death. It's just as simple as that. And, you know, I've had discussions with hobbyists over the years. I mean, they hate me because I'm speaking out against this trade. But I've tried to have intelligent discussions and say, what are your arguments for having this trade around? Because they'll often say it's a good thing for snakes. And I've never heard a good argument. In fact, it usually just boils down to them cursing and, you know, being belligerent with me. And if belligerence is the best argument that's out there, it's pretty clear that this trade, there's no good reasons to have it around. It's extremely damaging.
Matt, you have the opportunity and the huge compassionate heart to rescue and rehabilitate abused snakes. Do you use these snakes to educate others about snakes?
I do. Some of the snakes that I take in, I just give them a good home. And I should mention to listeners, the sad reality is once the snakes go through the pet trade, they usually can't be released back into the wild. Number one, some of them are captive bred, just like puppy mills. There's people that captive breed snakes for the purpose of selling them, and, you know, they're not really able to be released back into the wild. And wild-caught snakes, once they go through the pet trade, they often pick up bacteria and pathogens and diseases that the wild populations have never been exposed to and have no defenses for. So by releasing them, you know, it would be a huge issue of environmental degradation. So sadly, once they're in the pet trade, they're kind of stuck in captivity forever. So the next best thing is I try to provide them with a good home, give them, you know, as natural conditions as possible, make sure they're healthy and well looked after. Some of the snakes I will use for educational purposes, and I know, you know, using animals and keeping them in captivity is a bit of a touchy issue. My opinion is the only reason that humans should be interacting with animals is if it provides a legitimate benefit to that animal's welfare and rights or to the species as a whole. So I use snakes for education to hopefully, you know, help decrease the sort of hatred and negative stigma that surrounds snakes. It's been well documented by conservation groups that one of the biggest threats that wild snakes face is deliberate killings and persecution for fearful humans. So if I can help teach people that we don't have to be afraid of snakes, I can hopefully help alleviate those negative feelings and minimize the number of snakes killed. So I do use them, but I use them purely to, you know, provide a benefit to snakes. And I make it very clear at my lectures and presentations that they're not pets, that I use them purely for conservation and their welfare. And I always make sure to talk a great deal about the exploitation and abuse that snakes face at my presentations. So, you know, people don't get mixed messages and understand that, you know, really having them as captives, you know, the general public really has no reason to.
Matt, how did you become the snake man and so knowledgeable about snakes? What got you interested? Was there something in your childhood or some experience you had with a snake that just made you want to learn more about these magnificent creatures?
Well, as a kid, I grew up in a city, you know, so it was quite urbanized. But I used to spend my summers out with my grandparents, and they had cottages and campgrounds, and so I would see snakes every summer as a kid, and even at that age, I realized that they were unfairly stigmatized. I was always, you know, excited to encounter wildlife as a child, but I remember lots of instances where, you know, there you'd see a snake down by the pond or a marsh, and there'd be other swimmers or campers freaking out and, you know, saying all these horrible, nasty things about it, and I didn't understand it. I mean, I have seen these animals many times in the wild. I've never had a snake try to attack me or be aggressive towards me, and in studies around the world have shown again and again, snake bites only happen when people are usually trying to capture or kill them and they bite in self-defense. So, I mean, here's this, you know, shy, misunderstood animal that I had had lots of encounters with, none of them negative, but yet it seemed like everyone was harboring hatred towards them, and I just, you know, I didn't understand why. And that fascination and concern and empathy of snakes only stayed with me. And in 2004, I contacted my local conservation authority and worked with their educational coordinator, and we started my snake advocacy and outreach program, and it's just sort of snowballed from there and gotten bigger and bigger every year. And it, you know, I've always loved snakes, as I said, as a child, and I can't imagine doing anything.
Matt Ellerbeck, thanks so much for being on the show. Matt Ellerbeck, the Snake Man.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust to keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org. That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
If you're a business owner and you want to grow your business through direct mail with no out-of-pocket costs, keep listening. More customers equal more money, right? Well, now you can get more customers in your store using direct mail with no upfront costs through foot traffic marketing. If your store does $10,000 or more a month in credit card sales, foot traffic marketing will design for you a custom direct mail campaign with no upfront costs. Call now for free information and to learn more. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. Again, if you know that direct mail can help your business grow and your store already does at least $10,000 or more in credit card sales, call now and learn how you can get more customers with no upfront costs. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723. 800-721-6723.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Animals Today. Hello, Peter.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm great. What's going on in the news today?
Well, I'll tell you, the folks from the group Stop Animal Exploitation Now, they are filing a complaint against against Harvard University with the USDA demanding serious penalties because recently the New England Primate Research Center, that's where they house a whole bunch of 1,800 primates, actually. They self-reported that in more than one instance, an animal was used for unapproved use. And so that whole process goes through where they get reviewed, and there's going to be probably some minor slaps on the hand and fines. And so they're asking for more severe penalties. You know, you're really not supposed to use the primates for anything other than what's specified in the research protocol and what is approved by all the various boards in the university. So they discovered somebody was monkeying around with the monkeys.
Oh, boy.
But I didn't know 1,800 primates in Boston.
That's a lot. That's incredible.
Yeah. So
so sad. So sad what happens there.
Yes, it is. In Tanzania, you know, they've got a problem with illegally exported wildlife. You know, they need to protect their treasure of their wildlife. Well, a couple of impalas, four giraffes, 68 gazelles, some hornbills, and a couple of vultures were illegally exported. And that was discovered, resulting in a one-year ban in any exportation of wildlife, including from the 180 license firms. And even more interesting, the director of wildlife, the government official, he's been suspended because he is suspected to have engineered the deal where the animals were illegally exported. Mm. So just like in the United States, I guess there's corruption everywhere.
Corruption everywhere.
So what do you do?
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, no more. That's going to be a one-year ban unless they clean this up sooner.
But yeah.
We'll see who replaces him. Not that optimistic.
Right.
Back to Florida. The Humane Society recently has, in June, they seized 700 cats from a couple who had their own cat sanctuary. A bunch of them were sick and had to be euthanized. The rest were adopted out. 700 cats.
I saw the mugshot of that couple.
Yeah.
And they just look like sick people, don't they? Just well, looking at their faces, you just don't like them.
I didn't see the picture, but I've seen similar ones. And,
okay.
And they're not movie stars, these folks. Anyway, apparently they claim to have started as a genuine cat rescue operation. Like, there are similar ones that have hundreds of cats that are not doing poorly, right? But they claim that they are not hoarders, that this got out of hand, and actually criminal files have been finally brought about.
But oftentimes it begins like this, right? Begins
right.
with just an innocent rescue individual or group,
right.
think they're doing a great thing for these animals.
Right.
And then over years, the numbers get more and more. The neglect increases, and they become hoarders and abusers.
And I think in this instance, the fact that actually 70 of the animals had to be euthanized is pretty good
wow.
evidence that it really got out of control,
oh.
right? So 47 counts of animal cruelty and one additional count for cruelty against a rooster. We'll let you know what happens there.
Yeah.
In Manila, okay, so more animals being transported illegally. This is just the most common thing, it seems. An eagle, some turtles, and some minor birds. Three people were arrested regarding this transfer. A police informant turned them in. That's good news.
Yeah.
Yep. And then back in the Boston area, New Bedford, a barber who practices a religion called Palo Mayombe, which is similar to Santeria, where they, you know, sacrifice animals.
Yeah.
His barbershop has been closed because in the basement was found a dead rooster and half a dozen live birds, as well as some blood and stuff on the ground and a hacksaw.
Due to his religious beliefs?
Well, he claims he does not practice the religion at work. It's actually they were being transported. He was in between houses or something like that. So his place is closed. So, therefore, he is suing over the closure, saying that his customers are being denied haircuts.
You know, there's just too many nutty people around us.
There are. And incredible that someone's defending him. Isn't that the interesting thing? Someone's representing him.
And right.
Right.